Hello and welcome to The Mashup, your number one source for sports gaming and everything in between. I am your host, Jake Patterson, and we got a lot to talk about this week. Because the music is playing, it is time. March Madness is almost upon us. It is currently Champ Week, and everything is good. It is this, hands down, my favorite time of the year. All the chaos, just basketball nonstop in its purest form. Because college, you could make your argument for college football versus NFL. Like, you could make your argument which is the superior product. As far as I'm concerned, there is no argument for basketball. College is far and away the superior product compared to the NBA. It just is, and it's not really all that close. Like, at all. But, it is... we are 1 week away from my favorite week of the year. For all my fellow degenerates out there, please play responsibly. Don't go too crazy. You don't have to fire on every game. Just... be responsible and good luck. But yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's getting warmer out. I just took my dog for a walk earlier, didn't need a jacket, and like long pants were pushing it. Like the temperature was pushing it with long pants, so we are sitting pretty right now. It's gonna get colder next week, but let me enjoy the mid-Atlantic false spring yet again. But here we are. It's championship week. Most of the major and a few of the mid-major conference tournaments are really kicking off. Most of the big ones kick off on Thursday. Like Notre Dame and Wake Forest, that's an ACC tournament game, but it's not all that interesting. Rutgers, Maryland in the Big Ten, which again is disgusting. Maryland does not belong in the Big Ten. Like the good games, the good games aren't till Thursday and Friday. And then the really good games are on Saturday, obviously. But I do kind of hate that we're coming to the end of the college basketball season here, but it always goes out with a bang. I'm expecting pure chaos. Just with some of the like the ASUN tournament was pure chaos this year. Most of the top teams got knocked out almost immediately. Freaking Stetson won the whole thing. What? I don't even know what seed were they. Stetson was, let's check the standings. Okay, they were second. They were the two. But still, like, they bounced. Like, Lipscomb got bounced by North Alabama. Kennesaw got beat immediately. That's funny. Oh my god. You had that, the Austin Peay North Florida game that went to overtime. Lipscomb losing in their own gym it will forever be satisfying to me. Liberty's left them behind, but it will forever, truly forever be satisfying. The fact that Kennesaw is now absolutely terrible as they're about to join CUSA is also just some glorious karma. But yeah, the Stetson Hatters will represent the Atlantic Sun in the NCAA tournament after taking the win over the Austin Peay Governors. God, there are some weird names in the ASUN. Colonels, Hatters, Bisons, Governors, Ospreys, Lions. Eagles, that's pretty normal. It's generic, but it's pretty normal. Royals, that's actually a good name. Owls, Dolphins, Bears, and Knights. So it's a mix of weird and super generic. Ospreys is actually a good name. I'll give North Florida that. I don't like them, but I'll give them that. Yeah, some old friends, giant air quotes around that word, have already punched their tickets to the NCAA tournament. Some old friends of mine and other Liberty fans anyway. Longwood got in. They are the Big South champion. Let's actually see who is fully punched their ticket so far, because it's been a few teams. Obviously Stetson from the A-Sun, Longwood from the Big South, Charleston from the CAA. That video of Charleston's coach's son taunting the other team. Who is that other team? Where is it? There it is. Stony Brook. Okay, that's fine. I hate Stony Brook. I hate them because of their hockey team, but I still hate them. Those guys are jerks. Oakland out of the Horizon, Drake out of the Missouri Valley, Wagner out of the Northeast, Moorhead out of the Ohio Valley. I believe they were the first. Yeah, March 9th. That looks like, yeah, they were the first. Yeah, they were the first team. They were the first team to punch their ticket. Wagner and Moorhead State. Samford from SoCon, they had a good run. They'll definitely be they're one of the they have the second most wins in the country. I mean, I think a few like some of the big dogs like UConn and Houston still have the opportunity to pass them and get up to that JMU number of 31, but for now they have number two. And the funniest one so far: someone else won the West Coast Conference tournament this year. It's a miracle. It's the first time in 5 years. I'm going to double check that, because I'm pretty sure it's been Gonzaga every year for the last few years. Let's see. Where is... Ha, here we go. Here's a list. 2020, Gonzaga. 2021, Gonzaga. 2022, Gonzaga. 2023, Gonzaga. And these score lines: 18 points, 10 points, 13 points, 26 points. And then they lost to St. Mary's by 9. Yeah, the last time someone not named BYU or Gonzaga or St. Mary's won the West Coast Conference was 2018. And the last time someone not among those three did it was 2007. Good Lord. BYU's not even a member of the West Coast Conference anymore. They're part of the Big 12 now. They've won the West Coast Conference more recently than current members. Jeez, that's sad. Multiple times too. Like since Santa Clara won it in 2007, BYU has won the West Coast Conference tournament 4 times. And they are no longer a member of the West Coast Conference. But the format's so frickin' stupid. I hate this format, because the conference tournament is supposed to be... the conference tournament is supposed to be a gauntlet for everyone. And in the West Coast... I get it. They have what? They have 9 teams? Yeah, they have 9. They have 9 teams. Maybe don't give your top 2 teams immediate buys into the semifinals. Maybe just do a normal bracket, give your top team a bye to the second round, and then have the 2 play the 8, have the 2 play the 9, the 3 play the 8, and so on. And then winner of that, I don't know how you would actually do that, because you wouldn't want... you wouldn't want the one and the two to play each other in the second round. So obviously you'd have to mess with the bracket a little bit, but the fact that Gonzaga and St. Mary's basically every year just get triple buys into the semifinals. Like every year. Let's see last year. Yep, it was Gonzaga and St. Mary's. How about the year before? Gonzaga, St. Mary's. They were both ranked. How about the year before that? Gonzaga and BYU. The final, and that was the final that year. So that makes sense. 2020, did they even play it? They did, and it was Gonzaga and BYU got the double bye again. But again, St. Mary's won. 2019, Gonzaga, St. Mary's. Like every year, it's these two in the final, just getting automatic buys to the semis. And I think that is a very dumb format, and that's why Gonzaga or St. Mary's wins this thing every year, because they're just automatically guaranteed spots in the semifinals, because they're going to finish top two in the WCC basically every year, especially now that BYU's gone and run off to the Big 12. So yeah, WCC, you're already such a weird conference because you consistently have one of the best teams in the country, but you also had hands down the worst team in the country this year in Pacific. Like, the WCC is the most top-heavy conference in college basketball. Because you have Gonzaga and St. Mary's, who now are pretty consistently ranked in the top 25. Gonzaga, especially. St. Mary's, they kind of roller coaster a little bit. But for the most part, they're finding their spot in the top 25. Because Gonzaga being on their schedule twice boosts the hell out of their net ranking. And then they, like, see, it's as much as I said I don't care about the NBA, it's very similar to what happened in the NBA when LeBron was still with the Heat. Like, there was one team in the Eastern Conference who was even capable of even kind of challenging Miami, and that was the Indiana Pacers. And even then, they still got their shit rocked. Like, I remember that. It was the 2012 season. No one in the East could challenge the Heat. And then no one in the East could challenge the Heat. And then the Pacers were the only ones who even kind of could, and they still got obliterated. So yeah, it's the WCC is just like the early 2010s NBA. It's got a couple absolute monsters and everyone else is garbage. Got a couple absolute monsters and everyone else is just pure garbage. So fix your shit, WCC. Also, JMU, I hope you absolutely get your shit rocked. Like, you're probably gonna be like a 13 or a 12 seed. I hope you absolutely get your shit rocked, because the strength of schedule receipts are gonna come for you hard. Because, like, yeah, you beat Michigan State at the beginning of the year. Michigan State's not all that good this year. And the rest of your schedule kind of sucked. And congratulations, you won the Sun Belt and you have the most wins in the country. But I hope you get absolutely obliterated. Like, basketball version of what happened to Liberty in the Fiesta Bowl. That's what I hope happens to the James Madison University Dukes. They get their shit rocked by a 4 seed. Like, almost identical to, like commentators gushing over the other team's star player for the entire game on commentary. Everything that happened in the Fiesta Bowl. God awful refs. Commentators sucking the dick of the star player of the other team. and absolute annihilation. That is what I hope for the JMU Dukes. Your fan base is awful, and I really don't like you. So I wish you nothing but misery in the NCAA tournament. And as far as my picks for Champ Week, I don't have a pick in the Pac-12. They're the one major conference I just don't have a pick for, because like there basically is no more Pac-12. In 3 months, that conference is not going to exist anymore. They don't have a commissioner. Like, there's just no reason to make a pick for that conference. But I think the ACC is going to the Carolina Tar Heels. I think they have proven they're better than Duke, and it's beautiful. Like, UNC and Duke used to be equally hateable. Now they're really not. Like, it's not even close. Duke is now infinitely more hateable when you got, like, John Shire got overshadowed as a hateable Dukie as a player because he came immediately after JJ Redick. And then, like, so he just got completely overshadowed by the original, he wasn't the original Duke asshole, that was Christian Laettner, but the one who, like, the 21st century Duke asshole, JJ Redick. And then, like, Grayson Allen showed up and put JJ Redick to shame because, like, JJ Redick was a bitch at Duke. I liked him when he was with the Sixers, but he was a bitch when he was at Duke. Grayson Allen put him to shame and has not had a good NBA career. And now Kyle Filipowski is making a run at Grayson Allen's title. Like, the way he was acting at that Wake Forest game, when he very clearly tried to trip that student, and then he tried to trip, I don't remember if it was Davis or Baycott. It was one of the two, but he clearly tried to trip a UNC player. Acted like he didn't do anything wrong. John Shire is over apologizing to the student section while they're actively throwing water bottles at the UNC players. God. The hate Duke dipped for about a year. Because it's like, oh, they don't have K anymore. John Shire is just as bad. Like, he's just as annoying as K. And he doesn't have anywhere near the pedigree to fall back on. Like, he doesn't have anywhere near the pedigree to fall back on. I hope they have a very rough time in the NCAA tournament this year. Like, they barely scrape by. Because they're not going to be on the top two lines. So they, like, barely scrape by. And then they run into some like 15 seed buzzsaw in the Sweet 16, like a St. Peter's type. They run into just like a St. Peter's type buzzsaw. And John Shire and Cal Filipowski get to bitch when they lose to him and make up some dumb excuses. I hope it's not JMU. I don't want it to be JMU. Like, that would be the worst NCAA tournament game of all time. JMU versus Duke. Kill me now. Yeah, ACC is going to the Tar Heels. I think they're better than everyone else in the ACC by a significant margin. Purdue's going to win the Big Ten. Same thing. I don't think they're going to do all that well in the tournament this year again, because they're so overly reliant on Zach Edey and everyone else in the Big Ten plays like that. So it works. But when they go up against other teams that actually play 21st century basketball and aren't stuck in the mid 80s, they're going to struggle. Like, the blueprint is out. FDU did it last year. Just go back to the same blueprint Farley Dickinson used and go from there. The Big 12, I've narrowed it down to three. If I had to make an actual pick, I'm going to say Houston, because that team is just stacked. And I believe they're still number one in the country. They might have dropped to two, but I believe, yeah, they're still number one. And Connecticut's hot on their heels at two. So yeah, they're still number one in the country. I think they can pull out a win in the Big 12 tournament. The Big 12 has been pure chaos this year. It's just been chaos incarnate. Like, the second place team in the Big 12 isn't even ranked. Oh wait, no, they are. They're seventh. I didn't see them there. It's like, how are you second place in the best conference in the country and not ranked? When Baylor and Kansas both are, and Texas Tech. But yeah, the Big 12 is going to have a lot of teams in the tournament this year. Like, obviously, Houston, Iowa State, Baylor, and Kansas, and really Texas Tech are all already locks. But I think Houston's going to win the whole thing. Not the whole thing. I think they're going to win the Big 12. The Big East, same deal as the Big 10. There's one team that's clearly better than everyone else, and it's UConn. Like, they've been beaten on the road against teams loaded with seniors when they have incredible shooting nights, and UConn has a bad shooting night. So they're beatable. You just need a good team to have a near perfect game to do it. So I think, like, things get weird in Madison Square Garden. Marquette and Creighton both have a chance. Like, they're good teams and they're well coached. But MSG is a second home for the Huskies. So I think there's a I think there's a good chance that UConn takes this one. And for Conference USA, it's going to the Liberty Flames. Call me biased, I don't care. Playing on a neutral court with none of the weirdness of playing on the road in CUSA this year. They've got a good matchup. I don't think they'll have to play New Mexico State and have our guys get assaulted. Like, they get UTEP first round. They're a better team than UTEP. They just need to be the good Liberty. They need to be the Liberty that played against Louisiana Tech. They need to be the Liberty that who was that game against? The game before Louisiana Tech. The game before the one I went to. Middle Tennessee. They need to be the Liberty that played against Middle Tennessee and just absolutely demolished them. They need to be the Liberty that played against New Mexico State on Leap Day. That's who they need to be. And hopefully they're capable of doing that on a neutral court, because road games in CUSA this year have been super freaking weird. But yeah, those are my picks, and that's what I got for college basketball. Up next, we are going to switch gears and talk some HCS. Coming up next, here on The Mashup. Hey, do you really like The Mashup and want to help support it even more?
Of course I do. You're so awesome.
Well, do I have good news for you. I now have a Barstool Sports Store affiliate link.
Oh, what the heck is that?
An affiliate link is a link that takes you directly to the Barstool Store, but has some extra coding in it to let them know that I sent you, so I get some of the money from the sale in return.
That's so cool!
Yes, it is, and it helps me put out better and better content for you. And maybe does enough to get Barstool's attention that they'll give me a job. All you have to do is go to barstool-sports.pxf.io /themashup. That's barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup and get some merch. Doesn't matter what you get, you'll be supporting me and the mashup. And you get a cool t-shirt, hoodie, flag, or whatever else you want in return. So go to barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup today and help me grow this podcast even more. All right, let's talk some Halo. HCS Arlington is in fact this weekend because, my God, why not give me an abundance of content to watch? And of course, it's in Arlington after the absolute disaster that was last year's Arlington Major and the overabundance of Texas events last year. Thankfully, HCS has remedied that problem. Hopefully, this event will be better. By all accounts, it seems like it will be. Thank God, because, God, it can't be much worse than HCS Arlington, which is one of the worst Halo events of all time. It doesn't reach full, like, disaster level like some of the other more infamous ones, like Dota Shanghai Major, Gamers Paradise, all this other stuff, because it didn't carry over to the broadcast. It was just the event itself that sucked. And, like, watching the broadcast, it felt kind of boring. Because, like, I've seen that stage a million times. Optic never does anything to dress it up. Like, it's boring. But we've known the pools for a few weeks. I just haven't talked about them until this week. And we're going to go group by group, same as we always do on this show when it comes to Halo tournament discussions. I don't know. Native is probably going to be the top open bracket team, so I don't know which pool they will end up in. Top two from upper bracket advance to pool play, top two from lower bracket advance to pool play. Does it have... That's pool play. It doesn't have a page for... Yeah, they don't have a thing for the open bracket. So I don't know who goes where. Well, let me check the Halo Waypoint version. HCS Arlington 2024. Because I want to see who actually ends up where. Because that's gonna make things interesting. Because I would think they wouldn't get in with FaZe. Because that's just like screwing FaZe over. I would assume they'd probably go in with Complexity. Like that Complexity Optic Bittersweet group, which I feel like that would be right. And then the bottom open bracket team would go, like the bottom two would be stuck with FaZe and Space Station. And the top two would get, you know, on the whole easier groups, because Optic hasn't looked as good. They qualified in fifth place, but again, that's all online and you can't predict LAN based solely on online play. And I think, spoiler alert, I think Optic will win their group. I just don't know. One, if that's the group Native ends up in, Optic need to be careful. Cause APG's pissed and he's gonna be looking for revenge. But go group by group. This quadrant team, it's like a Frankenstein's monster of last year's actually them and Foe. Like the two big European teams, Quadrant and Foe, are just like Frankenstein's monsters of last year's Quadrant and Na'Vi rosters. Like Foe is pretty close to last year's Na'Vi roster. They've just added Chick, and Quadrant has added, actually, yeah, Quadrant's added Glory and Snipe Drone. So that's, and they lost Legend to Space Station, obviously. So yeah, like these two big European teams are just Frankenstein's monsters versions of last year's two big European teams. Where Quadrant's they both kind of have an even mix of both teams' representation. Quadrant's a little more like Quadrant represented because I think they still have the same coach. And like Foe has Wonder Boy, and most of this, like Jimbo, I think Jimbo and Mighty's were both, and Mighty were both on Na'Vi last year. And Wonder Boy was the coach. I have no clue how this team hasn't been signed. Like how this team hasn't been signed by anybody. I do not get that. But I think they're better than Ascending Baseline. Like Monster, Squalli, Hotshot Ghost, that's a good team. Burton, never actually heard of him, but like Monster and Squalli, that's a halfway decent roster. They qualified top eight in NA. So that should say at least something. I don't think they're better than FaZe. And I think FaZe are better than Quadrant. And whoever that's gonna be the fourth place open bracket team. So I feel bad for them. They go through the absolute gauntlet of the open brackets. Like, oh, congratulations, you have to play FaZe and Quadrant. Have fun. This business roster, who everyone thought was going to be G1, but that completely fell through with It's the Last Shot, Druk, Tolik, and Manny. When Last Shot was on Native for all of a day. And Native absolutely memed his ass on Twitter. God, that was beautiful. I honestly think Space Station kind of steamrolls this group because like this Foe roster was never able to really handle Quadrant last year. And this Space Station roster is better than last year's Quadrant roster. So I think Space Station will kind of steamroll their group. I think they're coming in hot. Spoiler alert, they're my pick to win the whole thing. Group C, I have going to Sentinels. I think they're the best team out of this group. They're making a case to call themselves a member of the Big Four. If they continue to play really well, they have a case to call themselves a member of the Big Four instead of saying, oh yeah, it's the Big Three, Space Station, Optic, FaZe. Space Station, FaZe, Optic, I think is the actual current quality ranking. And that is my bias showing 100%. That is 100% my bias showing. But yeah, I think Sentinels will win that group. Proton, who do they have? Proton's got a decent team, but eh. And then Pool D, I think, is going to go to Optic. Like, Complexity may be the higher seed. I would love to see Complexity win. But also, like, actually, no, they're not owned by Jerry Jones anymore. I don't have to hate them. Yes. Complexity is just owned by Jason Lake now. Someone who just actually cares about esports, not just some rich old asshole who wants to add it to his portfolio. So yeah, I'm full on pulling for Complexity in Group D now because they don't have the attachment to Jerry Jones anymore. Now FaZe does. So I can hate them even more. So yeah, I think Optic will probably still win, but I want Complexity to. Like I want Complexity to win that group and force Optic to start in loser's bracket, because that would be absolutely freaking hilarious. But yeah, I mean, unless Optic like truly shits the bed like they did at their own event last year, I think it's going to be the old familiar top three, and I think it's going to be SSG and FaZe in the final with SSG coming out on top. That's my prediction. I think as far as Dark Horse teams, I know they're coming out of the open bracket. They're absolutely going to make it out of the open bracket. Native's going to make a run at this tournament, guaranteed. Because, like, they're Native. They do it every time. The rosters have changed, but there's some magic in that org where they just make miracle runs at every freaking event. They do it. They did it all last year. I think they have a better team this year because they're just fielding the one roster. So they're gonna make a nice long run at this tournament. I can see them getting to Sunday. I could see them getting to Sunday. They might not last very long on Sunday, but I think they make it to Sunday. Like, it's not out of the question in my mind for them to finish top four. If they get matched up with Sentinels for a spot in top four, I think they can take it and drop Sentinels down to 5-6 and guarantee themselves a top four finish. Is what I think, because I think that native team is really freaking good. I think they're going to come out of the open bracket, and I think they're going to make a run. And just to put it out there on record, my preseason predictions for every event as it stands right now, before 2 days before the first event kicks off, SSG is going to win Arlington and Salt Lake. Quadrant's going to win London. FaZe is going to win Atlanta. Space Station's going to win Worlds. Yes, if you break those predictions down, that is everyone except Optic winning their home event and SSG winning Worlds. Am I biased? Yes. Do I care? Not really, because one, that's a legit prediction. That can absolutely happen. That's not me being completely out of the box here. Saying like, oh yeah, SSG are going to win two majors and Worlds this year. FaZe are going to win their home event. And Quadrant are going to win their home event. That's not completely out of the question. And I hope just everyone repeatedly gives all the Optic fans who show up to every other event massive amounts of shit. Like, if they start trying to do the green wall chant, it's like, just get like, just start playing Chris Jericho's WWE entrance theme. Just start blasting Break the Walls Down. Break the wall down. I'm not going to attempt to rap that because I don't actually know the lyrics. I just know the intro. And that's all you need to know for a wrestler's entrance theme is the very beginning, because then you cheer over the rest of it. But yeah, those are my predictions for the entire season. I'm putting them on record. They're going to go in the predictions folder. They're going to go in the predictions folder now too. Let's see. Asha. Predictions. Yeah, I am putting this down in a digital file in my predictions folder. So we will come back to this after Worlds, and we will see how right or wrong I was. Arlington, SSG, London, Quadrant, Atlanta, FaZe, and Salt Lake, SSG. SSQ, SSG, the French version. The French version of SSG, SSQ. And Worlds. SSG. All right. That is now locked in my predictions folder on my Google Drive, where I keep all of my show notes. That is 100% locked in. And you know what? For every event, I'm gonna make individual event predictions. But that will change over the ebb and flow of the season. But we'll come back after Worlds in October and see how I did. So look forward to that episode like 2 weeks before Halloween. It's not even Easter yet. I'm talking about a show that's going to come out 2 weeks before Halloween. But yeah, that's what I got for the HCS. Up next, we're gonna talk some football. I know I don't like talking football in the off season, but a lot of free agency shit has happened and I want to talk about it. So that is coming up next here on the Mashup. And welcome back let's talk some football, shall we? I know, it's March. I tend not to talk about football this time of year, but when the Ravens make a giant splash that is just pure karma to a team I absolutely hate, I'm going to talk about it. Derrick Henry is a Baltimore Raven. And he is now guaranteed something every Marylander would kill for. Free Jimmy's Crab Cakes for life. God, that sounds amazing, because crab cakes are not cheap. Like, one singular 6-ounce crab cake is like $35. It's good. It's worth it. But the average person can maybe get like a true like good crab cake unless you catch the crabs and make it yourself, which is also really hard to do. It is incredibly hard to catch crabs yourself. But yeah, shout out to Jimmy's to doing this for like every major free agent that signs in Baltimore. It's like, hey, here's an extra incentive on top of the millions of dollars this team is paying you. Free crab cakes for the rest of your life. And I think that's beautiful. And the fact that, like, when everyone knew, because everyone was checking his Twitter following, the person he followed before he followed Jimmy's was Keaton Mitchell. And then he followed Jimmy's, and that's when everyone started freaking out. It's like, oh no, it's not because he followed who was the guy who was the Ravens' third string running back last year. That was the fact that he followed Jimmy. It's like, oh my God, he's a Raven. And he's confirmed it himself on Twitter multiple times. So yeah, I am very much a fan of this signing. Good luck to anyone who, it's like, oh, congratulations. You get around Patrick Ricard, the 305 pound fullback who runs like he's 50 pounds lighter, but hits like he's 20 pounds heavier. Congratulations, you got around him. Now Derrick Henry's running at you. Have fun. And it's like, oh, Derrick Henry doesn't even have the ball. Lamar Jackson has it, and he's 20 yards down the field before anyone on the defense and the camera guys even realized it. Oh God, that 1-2 punch is going to be disgusting. That 1-2 punch is going to be so gross. And like, they still have Keaton Mitchell to be like the more pure speed guy. Because Derrick Henry obviously plays more like a power back, despite the fact that he is ridiculously fast. And like, Lamar Jackson's ridiculously fast too. So you have Keaton Mitchell to mix it up even more. I do miss the triple high. I am going to miss. The triple Heisman backfield's completely gone, but that's better than the triple Heisman. Like, that's better than the triple Heisman backfield. That's even more disgusting, is Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. That's going to be gross. That's going to be absolutely freaking gross. And I cannot wait to see what the Ravens cook up with this absolutely disgusting offense, where they still also have Zay Flowers, Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews, and Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Who do you defend? Because, oh, if they can do it right, the play action with this team is going to be absolutely disgusting. Like, because everyone's going to respect the fact that you are handing the ball off to Derrick Henry when not actually handing off the ball to Derrick Henry and just uncorking a bomb to Zay Flowers, who is wide open 30 yards downfield. And a receiver who can actually catch the ball when it hits him directly in the hands. And he just takes off for the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens. In other in other teams I hate getting smacked with the hammer of karma news, T. Higgins has requested a trade from the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, the rumor is the Ravens were clearing cap space to go for Deebo Samuel. But I would love to see them pick up T. Higgins. Or even better, just sign him for free next year. Or just hope and pray he's like, no, I'm not going to negotiate me. Trade me or cut me. And like, just no one wants to trade because they have no leverage, and then they cut him, and then the Ravens can sign him for free. That would be even better. That would be absolutely glorious. Just absolute hammer of karma hitting the Bengals. Cause you know, when you don't negotiate with the guy at all for over a year, he's going to get pissed. And I can't wait to watch him leave. I don't care where he goes. He could go to the Steelers for all I care, as long as he's not with the Bengals. Because the Steelers aren't going to get better. Like, sure, they signed Russell. They signed, what, 35, 36-year-old Russell Wilson? Who is well past his prime? With a god-awful... going to a team with a god-awful coaching staff who will absolutely not use his skills correctly? Yeah, I'm not worried about him coming to the AFC North. Like, he's not going to be that good with the Steelers. I'm truly not worried. And, like, Joe Burrow can't beat a healthy Lamar Jackson, so... And the Browns are, you know, still the Browns. So the North is going to belong to the Ravens again. Especially if they can actually pull this off and get T. Higgins, because, like... We're already getting the revenge tour, like the revenge tour against teams that have pissed me off by acquiring their best players instead of them. So yeah, I want the hammer of karma to continue hitting the Karen Cats even harder and have one of their best receivers come to the Ravens instead. It would be absolutely glorious. And speaking of teams that continuously fuck up, the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins. Weirdly, I don't hate this move for them. I don't know why they were willing to pay the 36-year-old coming off an Achilles injury instead of the 26-year-old Lamar Jackson. But, hey, Falcon's gonna Falcon. But the rest of that offense is so young, they can get away with this. And that division sucks. That division is genuinely terrible. Like, the Bucks might still be good. The Buccaneers might still be good next year, but, like, the Panthers and the Saints, you don't have to worry about either of them at all. The Panthers are truly awful. Like, they're one of the worst teams in the NFL right now. So that division is hot garbage. When you have the kind of offensive talent the Falcons have, you don't need like a hotshot quarterback. You just need a Kirk Cousins. Now, he can't get it done in the playoffs, like, ever. But then again, he was also playing with the Vikings, who I'm convinced are cursed. But honestly, so are the Falcons. So, like, the Falcons are cursed too, so who knows? Like, the Falcons have never gotten over 28-3, ever. Like, that was in 2017? Yeah, that was in 2017. And they still have not moved past that. So, yeah. But hey, congrats to Kirk Cousins for just doing what he does best, and that's getting paid. But yeah, that's what I got for the show this week. I don't think I'm going to be able to co-stream HCS Arlington just because I have, like, a lot going on this weekend as far as like like, I want to watch the basketball games. I have two different D&D games, one on Friday night, one on Saturday afternoon. So, yeah, it's going to, it should be a fun weekend. I've got a lot going on, but, that's it for the show this week. Hope you all enjoyed. Hope you all enjoy the rest of your week. Hope you all enjoy Championship Weekend or HCS Arlington or whatever else it is you're going to watch this weekend. And with that, I will talk to you guys next time. Till then, peace.